here's the question as we get ready to move into this last part of Mark chapter 1. When you think about this, in our society, who are the untouchables? Who are the people, or maybe entire groups, segments of society that are put out on the fringe of society? They're put out as unclean. They are put out as, stay away from these people. They are dangerous to you. They are detrimental to your health. And you could apply that to your spiritual health as well. Who are the untouchables in our culture? Now, that might be different in the minds of each one of us in the room. Well, these people are untouchable. Stay away from them. In the minds of others in our culture, guess what? We as Christians can be the untouchables, the ones to stay away from and avoid. The question is this, along with this, how does Jesus respond to untouchables? How does Jesus respond? And you might even say it better, how does Jesus engage with untouchables? And here's a little hint. Every one of us is spiritually unclean outside of Christ. Apart from Christ, unclean. Apart from Christ, untouchable by the holy standards of God. Every one of us would fall into that category outside of Christ. And thankfully, what we've been singing about this morning and worshiping Him about is He has done something in us. He's saved us. He's changed us. He's made us a people that is clean. So, Jesus has been traveling the region of Galilee. He's been preaching in their synagogues. He's been casting out demons, unclean spirits. And now he's approached by a desperate man. A desperate man in need of healing. And this man is a leper. A leper is an outcast, considered unclean and untouchable according to the law of Moses, was intended to be put outside. The Old Testament terms would have been outside the camp for the protection and well-being of the rest of the people. This man's been pushed to the edge of society, and he's been quarantined for the safety of others. And this is where we read in Mark 1, 40 through 45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, your translation may say moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Jesus' fame, we're still in Mark chapter 1, and his fame is continuing to grow. His reputation is starting to precede him. And it's, you can just kind of feel the momentum beginning to build. I love that this man who is untouchable, as we're calling this message today, the untouchables. Not thinking Elliot Ness. Some of you went, your brains, they say the untouchables. Some of you go right to Elliot Ness. That's a great story, but that's not what we're talking about. And some of you have no idea who Elliot Ness is, and you should go look it up later, because it is a great story. Jesus is approachable for the untouchable. Think about the people that came to your mind when I asked you the question, who is untouchable in our society? Who does our society consider to be unclean? You may even say, according to the very word of God, who are the people who are considered unclean? Jesus is approachable for the untouchable. This man comes and he says, if you're willing. And the tense in the Greek there is, in the ESV it says, if you will. The New American Standard says, if you are willing. So he's not just saying, like, well, if you do it, you can make me clean. He's saying, if you're willing, if it's your desire, if you really want to do this, you can make me clean. And Jesus says to him, I am willing. But he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And this man was it says he had leprosy. This was a big, broad word that was used to talk about lots of different skin conditions. And you could look back in Leviticus 13 to see what the law of Moses really had to say about skin conditions and various the different ways that could look. It could be as a result of a burn that becomes infected. It can be more of a, it's all kinds of gross things. You get boils on the skin. You get the skin turning yellow and the hair gets really thin and gross and all kinds of things that can go on in someone's skin that makes them unclean. And they're meant to be separated out so that this disease, whatever it is, doesn't begin to spread through the rest of the people. In fact, an interesting story, I won't go into it a lot. I'm sure you've heard of the Black Plague, bubonic plague. There's a monument in Europe to the people who went back to the Bible. In the middle of this, it was spreading rampant throughout Europe, and people went back to the Word of God and went back to Leviticus and said, what do we do when this kind of stuff is happening? They went back to Leviticus and said, we're meant to actually quarantine the people and set them apart. And that was hugely influential in stopping the Black Plague, because people went back to what God had to say. Pretty amazing. So these laws are in here for our good and for our benefit. But this man is now an outcast in society because of what's happened. And he needs healing. He needs deliverance. This particular story is really, really near and dear to me. Because when I was an infant, and I was born, the doctor said I had the worst case of cradle cap that he had ever seen. And my parents had to put mittens and gloves on me because my skin was so dry, so itchy. I would scratch my head and my head would bleed and my arms and my elbows would ooze. I'm sorry, it's kind of disgusting and gross. They would ooze because of the cracking. It was red. It was gross. And the backs of my knees would be continually oozing. And it may very well be that my condition would have qualified under Leviticus 13 of the various skin conditions considered leprosy. Now, I didn't have body parts falling off, thank God. That's another kind of leprosy. And my mom said the eczema was just horrible, horrible. Now, if you look at me, I'll keep telling the story as we go. You'll recognize that's not an issue for me today. This man is potentially contagious. But this potentially contagious man is not shunned by Jesus. He's not kept at bay by Jesus. The outcasts and the untouchables in our society are not kept at bay by Jesus. In fact, the very reason Jesus came was to reconcile the untouchables. The word says, we talked about it in Vision and Values yesterday and the day before, Friday night and Saturday morning, as we're going through talking about the vision and the values of our church, says that while we were still sinners, is when Christ died for us. While we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we were opposing God, is when he came to reconcile us. The outcasts and the untouchables of society are not shunned by Jesus. And what we see in this story is the outcasts and the untouchables, one in particular, are coming to Jesus. His reputation is already preceding him because he's been healing many who were sick. This village where he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then the whole town showed up. His fame begins to spread through the region. And this man comes. And his very first thing he says to Jesus is, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Why does he know that? Because Jesus is already doing this. And the testimony of what's already happened in someone else's life is putting hope into this man. And he comes. I love this. He comes, and his faith has been triggered by the stories of what Jesus has already done. Guys, it's important, and I think we talked about this a little last week. It's important to tell the story of what Jesus has done for you. How he has set you free. How he has saved you. How he's forgiven you. How he's redeemed you. How he's taken you in your various areas of sin, uncleanness, and he's set you free. Those stories are powerful. In fact, in Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is very true in this man's life. This leper has heard the testimony of Jesus, and it's like this prophetic urge. Jesus has already done this. Jesus, if you're willing, you can do it for me. The testimony in your life about what Jesus has done for you becomes the prophetic hope in the lives of lepers. The prophetic hope of the outcasts. The prophetic hope of the untouchables. This is powerful. So this guy comes and he implores, he begs Jesus, asking for help and asking for healing. And he kneels down before Jesus. That's a powerful act. He comes and he kneels before Jesus. What does that say? I'm submitting to you. I have reverence for you. I have respect for you. Now, chances are his kneeling and his reverence and his respect of Jesus is a little bit self-centered. Because he wants healed. His motives may not even be great. In fact, as the story continues, you might find out they're not. But he comes, such as he is, and he bows before Jesus, and he asks. And Jesus is approachable. So what happens? Jesus reaches out and he touches the man. The very first thing, it says he's moved with pity before he says, "I'm willing, be clean." He reaches out and he touches the untouchable. No small thing here. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the potentially contagious. He touches the very man who others might say, "You have just touched the unclean. You are now unclean." You have reached out and you have embraced a man unclean according to the law of Moses. That could defile you. But Jesus reaches out and he touches the man. Now, it says he stretches out his hand. This guy comes, this untouchable man, this unclean man. I imagine him, like, he hears Jesus is around, and he comes running, or he comes with a mission. And he comes right up to Jesus, but he's unclean. And so he doesn't go all the way up to Jesus. He comes and he stops short. And he leaves some distance. He leaves a safe distance between himself and Jesus. It says Jesus is moved with pity, or moved with compassion. And if you get into that in the Greek, it says it's like his bowels are it's like in your gut. When have you ever had that sense of you hear something that's happened to someone you love, or you and something either dangerous, something sad, and right in your gut you can just get this, oh. That's what is happening to Jesus. In his gut, in the core of who he is, it's this, and then he's moved with compassion. And when I had this skin condition as a child, my mom was pretty moved with compassion, as you can imagine, because I'm her little boy, and my head is bleeding, and my arms and my legs are bleeding. I have rashes and really bad eczema all over. And she told me, and I called her this week. I said, Mom, I do not want to exaggerate this story. I need to hear from you. Tell me as much as you can remember what happened here. And she said, I remember holding you in my arms one night. And I stayed up late into the night pacing with you and praying and asking God to touch your body and to touch you in this area and to set you free from this skin condition, the eczema, the cradle cap. And she said, from that night onward, it began to improve. And she said it was a process. It began to improve. And she said they went to an allergist who had them pull me off of anything that I could be allergic to, and then slowly reintroduce foods. And she said what was amazing was as we reintroduced foods to you, none of them caused any problem. There weren't any allergies. Now, there was one. I still have it to most tree nuts, and I still don't eat them. So as good as one of those salads looked yesterday at the graduation party, I stayed away from the one with the nuts, just for everyone else's benefit as well as my own. But all the rest of it was gone. The skin condition, gone. And she said it was that night, as I said, Jesus, would you touch my son? Would you touch him and would you make him whole? And she said it began to improve and it went away. And as we reintroduced the foods to you, never came back. So I am quite happy about that because I'm able to live a pretty normal life. And I told my mom, I said, I have this one little patch in the middle of my back that I know, I said, it's almost like a thorn in the flesh kind of a thing, where it only bothers me and it only gets irritated and dry when I'm carrying stress and I'm not laying my burdens on the Lord, but I'm trying to deal with it myself. It acts up right there in the middle of my back. And I always know, before I even know I'm stressed, I realize I'm stressed by what's happening in the middle of my back. And it's the only remnant of that skin condition, and it's actually a blessing in my life. So as long as I'm laying things down well and letting Jesus lead his church, I'm doing pretty good. When I try to lead it myself, I can stress out. So Jesus is moved with compassion, and this man has left the respectable distance, and Jesus bridges the gap. He stretches out his hand to this man. The law called this man unclean and demanded distance. Those in need today, those who are unclean today, who are approaching us, may very well sense that same distance that the law demands. The good and holy and perfect and pure law of God, they sense there's a distance. There's only so close I can really come to the holy. And guys, you may not realize it because you're living life and you're just walking through life, but you have been made holy. There's something different about you. And it can actually be intimidating to non-Christians. It can be intimidating to people who are in sin. And they're afraid to come too close. It's like they want relationship, but that's dangerous and it can get them into trouble. The law demands the distance. But Jesus bridges the gap himself. He reaches out his hand across the distance that the law demands. And he reaches right into the life of this unclean man, of this man who is the outcast. Now the law could point out to this man his uncleanness, but the law could not heal him. The law could do nothing about his uncleanness other than say, "You are unclean, stay apart." But Jesus drew us near, and he did what the law can never do. He bridges the gap, and he says to the man, I am willing. And he says, "Be clean." Now Jesus, he didn't have to touch this man. He didn't have to touch the uncleanness. He didn't have to touch the outcast. Because as we find out later, Jesus can speak the word from a distance. He doesn't even have to be in the same area. And you can be healed because of the authority and the power in Jesus and his submission to the Father. And so even though Jesus didn't have to touch this man, he did. He reaches right into the pain of this man's life. How long has it been since he's experienced the touch of a fellow human? How long has it been that this man has been isolated? And Jesus comes right into that and he touches him. This is a deep compassion. This gets right into the heart of real life and real struggle and real needs that people have. We can point out, "You are unclean." And the law is very good at doing that. And actually, the devil is very good at doing that. He's called the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus reaches right in. He doesn't pretend the man's not unclean. He is. But Jesus says, "I am willing. Be clean." He draws near and he brings healing. This is really good news, guys. This is amazing news. This, we're getting at the heart of who Jesus is and the heart of who God is, because Jesus himself says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What is the Father like who gave this good and perfect and holy law? He's the God who's intending to fulfill it and who's intending to bridge the gap. Is intending to bring sinners to himself and change them, which is the third point in this. Jesus changes the untouchable. He's approachable for the untouchable. He touches the untouchable, and he actually changes the untouchable. The first thing he does is he heals the man. He just heals him. "I'm willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Wow. I mean, that's absolutely, well, our whole series is called Remarkable, right? That's remarkable. He heals the leper. His skin condition is gone. He's been miraculously healed. His social stigma eliminated. What was keeping him at bay, completely gone. He was a leper. He's no longer a leper. You were a sinner. Now you have been made righteous. What you were is not who you are. And his whole identity could be wrapped up in, "I'm a leper. I'm an outcast. This is, I have to keep a safe distance. And all of a sudden, Jesus changes it. You're no longer a leper. His ability to relate to society has changed. His ability to go to work, he can now work. His ability to embrace and to be embraced, to experience close, hands-on relationship, restored. Now, it's absolutely amazing that God heals the sick. And he deals with this. I mean, it's a physical problem this man has. He has leprosy. He has a skin condition. And God heals him physically. But this is pointing to something even more amazing of how God heals us at our core and our leprosy called sin. God completely eradicates and he makes us clean. So the first thing he does is he heals the leper. He heals the untouchable. The second thing he does, he sternly instructs the man to say nothing to anyone, but to go directly to the priests as a proof to them. Go directly to the priest. Now, this is all according to the law of Moses. You go to the priests. The priests check you out. They make sure that everything is good. And you offer a cleansing sacrifice. And it's at that point, it's almost like a Thanksgiving sacrifice as well. And you're like, wow, thank you, Lord. I'm healed. And then you can go tell everybody. Jesus sternly instructs him, don't go tell everybody. Go straight to the priests. You know, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to the priests. Do that first. Jesus has no qualms. Don't miss this. He has no qualms about asking the man to obey him. He has no qualms about asking the man to honor him with his life. We do a disservice to who Jesus is if we leave out this part. Jesus is Lord. He is compassionate. He is good. He is the friend of sinners. And he is Lord. And he speaks to this man. Imagine, you've just been healed. Everything in you is exploding to tell everyone. And Jesus says, you know that one thing you really want to do right now? Everything in your emotion says this. And I say, no. What? But Jesus, this is really cool. You just healed me. And you're telling me to go to... He sternly warns him, go do this. He has no qualms, you guys, about instructing the lives of those who come to him. He has no problem doing that. Of instructing you and instructing me, because he is Lord and we are not. So here's a big important question. Did the man obey Jesus? No. Wouldn't it be great? We read the read like, oh yeah, this is so cool. Jesus says, don't tell anyone, go to the priest. And he went to the priest and the guy did exactly the opposite of what Jesus told him to do. Wait, so Jesus heals the untouchable. He bridges the gap. He sets the man free. And then the man walks out and sins. His first act in response to the miracle breakthrough of God in his life is to walk out and sin. Jesus, you wrote the story wrong. No, he didn't. Grace is audacious. God knew fully. Remember, Jesus, if you read ahead and put this all in context, Jesus does nothing except what he sees the Father doing. And he moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in his humanity, and you could say, well, he laid down whatever that looks like for God to become man. Jesus is totally dependent on the Spirit. If he has a word of knowledge about somebody, it's because the Spirit gave it to him. If he heals somebody, it's through the power of the Spirit. Even though he is God the Son, he's also a man, the Son of Man. And he's made himself dependent on his Father, the will of his Father, and the power of the Spirit. Do you think the Father had no idea what this man was going to do? No, he had absolute, total knowledge of what's going to result. He knows this man is going to walk out and immediately walk in disobedience. And yet, he pours out his grace on this man and heals him. Grace is audacious, reaching even to the disobedient. This man's heart hasn't been changed yet. The man's healed and is restored. His first act is disobedience. I had a wise friend remind me this week that though Jesus comes with both grace and truth, the element we sometimes overlook is the time it takes before we see the change in people's lives, before we see the change in people's circumstances. That wise man was Joe Amato. Jesus comes with grace and truth, and he sometimes takes a long time working in our lives. It's audacious the way God pours out his Spirit and the way that he moves in our lives and the way that he makes us clean even while we're still walking in sin. If that doesn't make you grateful to the Lord, I'm not sure what will. His patience is amazing. Now, I want to be really clear about this, okay? I'm making this guy sound really, really bad right now. What was his disobedience? It was freely spreading the good news about Jesus. He went out spreading the good news about Jesus and telling everyone. I wish I could say that my sinfulness and my disobedience to the Lord was, I just keep going out and telling people about Jesus. Sadly, that's not usually the way my disobedience looks. But I don't want to minimize that he bypassed what Jesus told him to do. He's healed. He wants to go share and tell everybody. And Jesus says, what I want you to do first is go to the priests, do what's commanded, and do this as a proof to them. God loves those religious guys. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He also loves religious people. The ones you go, oh, those guys are the super spiro people. I don't know if I want to. Can we bypass them? Jesus says, go to them. Go to them. Go tell them what happened. He likes the religious ones. So what do we do with this, guys? I think we begin by thanking God. We thank God that his grace is audacious. His grace is bold. His grace moves right into the lives of sinners. And he might work in an area in their life and start changing their life. And you go, I really wish you would change him over here. But Jesus starts over here. He starts where he wants to start in our lives. Thank God he does. Thank God. Jesus' compassion reaches us, you guys. He reaches us in our uncleanness. He reaches us in our brokenness. The ways we think, oh, I'm an outcast. I'm on the fringes. His compassion reaches you there. His power and his desire the I am willing of Jesus. I am willing. It brings wholeness and restoration to our lives. And Jesus changes us. It's a lifetime. Some things are in a moment. And some things are a lifetime. He has such patience with us. In our zeal, because this man, he was zealous. He was ready to run for God. I'm going. Bah. And his zeal was completely disobedient, but he was zealous. And Jesus has patience with us. Now, it would be really, really self-righteous of us to say that the untouchable in this story is someone else. To say, just someone else. Just those people. The untouchable represents us. Every one of us needs Jesus to make us clean. The good news is, he makes us clean. And then he uses our message and our testimony to draw others to himself. The whole reason this man came in the first place was the testimony of someone else. He makes us clean. He restores our lives. He brings healing to our lives. In my life, he brought tangible, physical healing to my skin condition. And you know what? I have faith to pray for healing when people have skin condition. Why? Because Jesus already did it. He's done it in me. And man, if that's you and you're like, I kind of keep it really hidden, but yeah, that's me. Well, gosh, I'd love to pray for you. I think Jesus will set you free. Now, yeah, it would be self-righteous of us to say, oh, that untouchable is someone else. But we do need to be ready to be Jesus' hands and feet. We are the body of Christ in the world. And to reach out and touch the untouchables. The outcasts of society that God brings us to. Don't think God didn't set up this encounter, and the Father wasn't orchestrating something for his Son to get great glory. God orchestrates our lives. He's setting things up. He's directing our steps. I think Randy prayed it this morning as we were praying before the meeting. We make our plans and God directs our steps. And the Father was directing the steps of Jesus, and he's directing the steps of this leper, and they come together and boom. Guys, he will use us. He'll direct our steps to cross the paths of outcasts. And we need to be ready to touch the ones he brings us to and the ones he brings to us. The good news is Jesus helps us do exactly this. He will help you do this.